Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
As Michael said, Debbie and I are missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and we have been in Russia for over 20 years now. And one of the things that we're thankful for this Thanksgiving season is this church. Now everybody's going to say that, right? But we have a little bit more, I think, reason to be thankful. This is the oldest, longest supporting church. When we first said we were ready to go overseas, at that time, North Cove, Church of God said, we'll support you. So for the last over 22 years now, Heritage has been supporting us in our ministry as we work in Russia with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And you're also our largest supporting church. So we have a couple reasons to be thankful besides all the great people, right? This morning we're going to be looking at the 23rd Psalm. And I'm going to use our ministry update or outline of our testimony as we go through the 23rd Psalm to kind of give it to testify how our Lord and Savior has watched over us and has been our shepherd. And as I'm doing that, I'd like for you to think about how, and I'll be asking a few questions along the way, how the Lord has been your shepherd over the last year as we enter into this Thanksgiving season. So if you will, turn with me please to Psalm chapter 23. I'm reading out of the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Christ. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was prophesying about Jesus. During his ministry, Jesus in John chapter 10 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And later on in 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The Lord is my shepherd. In order for you to gain any encouragement from this psalm, any hope, any comfort, you have to be able to say, Jesus Christ is my shepherd. You have to believe that he died for your sins, that he laid down his life for your sins. And if you do, if you're able to say that, you'll be blessed by this psalm. If you are not able to, it's just a good old piece of ancient poetry that needs to be framed and put on your wall. And that's all it's good for. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That is one of the most important ones. That's why it's there first. The most important one to realize. I shall not be in want. As Jesus is the good shepherd, he adds some things to that during his ministry. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't worry. Don't be anxious about what you wear or what you eat. My Father in heaven feeds the birds and clothes the flowers. And we are more important to him than that. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what the good shepherd says. Now, for me personally, this one, since it's the first, requires the most faith. and trust. And yet, it's the area where God has shown himself faithful and trustworthy over and over again for over 20 years. When we came back to the United States 3 years ago, we were in debt. We had been overseas for, at that time, 3 years without full support. And we came back, we had $10,000 in credit card debt as a missionary. Not only that, but Wycliffe, our sending agency, said we needed to raise another $10,000 during the course of the year in order to go back to Russia. $20,000. And I said, there is no way. I looked at that. It's impossible. I forgot. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. After 12 months, through sacrificial giving of churches like yours, a big chunk of it, and individuals, we were able to return to Russia and live there without any problems. We were able to return this year, in June, debt-free. Yeah, I shall not be in want. Now, we turned because our youngest son, Kurt, was going to go into college. Our oldest son's already been there. He's a junior this year. My younger son's a freshman. Both of them are at Huntington University. In July, I received the bill for their tuition, the part that they think parents should be able to pay. Yeah, you laugh, but it's shocking. It was three times what we had planned and assumed and prepared for. Three times what it was going to be. I remember when I got the note and I looked at Kurt and I thought, Kurt, forget about it. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, you're a doubting Thomas. Now you laugh, but when your 18-year-old son is able to see your lack of faith, I mean, I laughed too afterwards, but I thought it was hopeless. There's no way to pay for it. How quickly we forgot. So after talking with the university, talking with friends, talking with Heritage, we were able to pay. And the bill, the actual part that we had to write out, was 10% of the original. 10%. He proved it again. He is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. So, how has God met your needs over this last year? And what do you need now? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Restoration of the soul is another reason why we come home for a year. One's to put our son in college, the other's to get restored. St. Petersburg, we live in St. Petersburg, Russia. It's a large city, about 5.5 million people. It's as far north as Anchorage, Alaska, so during the winter months, there's hardly any sun, and during the summer months, the sun never goes down. We live in large concrete apartment buildings, surrounded by stone buildings. And the buildings, some of them are beautiful, but still, it's all stone and concrete. There are very few places that are quiet. People everywhere, 5.5 million. And there are even less green pastures to lie down in. On the other hand, when we come back to the States, we live in a very small town, about 35 miles to the west. It's called Pettisville, Ohio. It's in between Archbold and Wauseon. And most of the year, we're surrounded by nothing but green. And there's a whole lot of quiet. And it's easy to have our souls restored. So where does God lead you in order to be restored? Where does he make you lie down? Have you been restored this year? Something to thank him about. And we get restored because of verse number 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our souls are restored in order to follow him. He gives us times of restoration so that we can do what he wants us to do. And he needs Debbie and I rested and restored because of our next step. We will return in June. I will continue to teach PE and history and Bible at an international school. It's called the International Academy of St. Petersburg, a missionary kids school. And I've been doing that for about 16 years, last 16 years. When I go back, though, I'm also going to be taking on the role of office manager for the International Wycliffe Bible Translators that are located in St. Petersburg. Now, to me, this is fairly ironic because that's the job I started with 20 years ago. My job 20 years ago was starting the office, getting it going. And now my role is going to be downsizing the office. We're not closing it down, but we're downsizing it. So some of the people that I hired, I'll have to be the one saying, you're fired. Yeah. So that's exciting, right? I need restoration for that. Now, one of the reasons that our work in Russia is closing down, it's changing. First off, after 20 years, some of the major projects, the big languages are done. It's done. We don't need to keep doing it anymore. Another reason is because of Islamic tensions and that in some of these areas, our families have been kicked out. It's just too dangerous to live there anymore. And the third reason, though, and this is a good one, it's because Russians themselves are becoming much more involved in the translation work. Missionaries, Russia Wycliffe, is a large organization now. And that's where Debbie, when she goes back, she'll be working as an administrator for a Siberian language project. And this is a very unique project. First off, it's staffed and run by Russians and Russia Wycliffe. The other thing that makes it unique, it's in very small language groups on the far east of Russia. And when I say far east, I mean all the way over as far as you can get to Japan and then go up. And it's about, someone said you could see Sarah Palin's house from there. The other thing is the work itself will be non-traditional, meaning they're not going to end up with the actual scripture. It's going to be done with oral translation. So they're going to do storytelling, oral translation of scripture. And of course, we do all that. We are guided, we are led for that, and we do it for His namesake and for His glory. So where has the Lord guided you this last year to bring glory to His name? What jobs has He given you? Where has He sent you? And you can give thanks for that. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For the last 2 years, our school, the International Academy, has been under intense persecution by the Russian government. And it's been in the form of administrative law. So they asked for all of our documents, and we gave them all of our documents, and it was a stack this high. And they looked through every one, and at the end of it, they said, well, our hands are tied, but according to the law, you need to cease to exist and liquidate all assets. What does that mean? So we hired some attorneys to find it out. For over a year, we went through all the process of going to every judge, up the level, up, until we finally went, and our lawyers and the director of our school went to see the Attorney General of Russia, the top lawyer in Russia. He looked everything over, and he said, well, there's nothing I can do about it. My hands are tied. I can't go against the lower courts. You have to stop. So we wondered what's going on. On the last day of the last appeal, our lawyer, not lawyers this time, they just sent one guy back, a junior lawyer, went back to the original court. And he said, and he asked the question, well, did anybody die? And, no. Okay. And he stamped all the documents approved. Unbelievable. Even though we walked through the valley. Well, we walked through the valley, we came out on the other side, and this is Russia. So he didn't give us too long to celebrate. The next day, and I am not kidding, the next day, we received a call from the city officials informing us that the building that we were in, they were going to give back to the original owners that had it 100 years ago, and we had to move out. Okay, so back in the valley. In Deb's project, the language groups were literally located in the Valley of Death, where they are out in Siberia. That's when, during communism, that's where they sent prisoners to die. The area, it was just a prison without walls. There was no escape. It was impossible. And some of the language groups themselves are dying. They're going through the valley. They are, when I say small, the largest one that they're working in is 1,665 people. The smallest is 103. These are very small groups. They are going through the valley. So when have you felt God's presence in the valleys of life? And if you're going through one right now, and if the Lord is your shepherd, He is with you. Even though it may not feel like it, He is with you. We can be thankful for that. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Before the government started to attack the school 2 years ago, we had 100 students and we were in a very old, unremodeled building. But God's preparing a feast in front of our enemies. Our cup overflows. Right now, and I mean 2 weeks ago, we had 140 students and we moved into a brand new 6-story, completely remodeled building. Our cup overflows. The Lord is our shepherd. In the Siberian projects, the enemy, of course, was the communist government. The people were not allowed to keep their jobs. They weren't allowed to keep their jobs as fishermen. They weren't allowed to use their own language. They had to use Russian. They were forced onto collective farms. But now, their cup overflows too. They're back to fishing. And when I say they're catching sturgeon, it's huge. They are back to fishing. And the people who were their enemies, the Russians, are the ones that are bringing them the word of God in their language. Anointing their head with oil, helping them, preparing a table in front of their enemies. So when have you experienced the Lord's abundant blessings during times of persecution? Are you right now? Have you this past year? It's something to be thankful for. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy and love, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're at a different stage of our life right now. Both boys are in college. People ask, how much longer will you continue to serve overseas? We will continue to serve as long as the Lord allows. We will continue to go back to Russia. So are you dwelling in the house of the Lord? That's the question. Are you dwelling through prayer, the reading of the word, and fellowship? Are you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? And I pray as you went through the psalm today that those questions helped you understand how great of a shepherd and savior we have. And if he's not your shepherd and your savior, how much it would help to have him be your shepherd to watch over you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you are our shepherd, that you watch over us, that you set a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that you are, we will not be in want. Lord, I pray as we go through this Thanksgiving season, we remember everything that you have done to help us, to guide us, to be with us, to bless us. And I pray that we will follow and do your work in your way for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the Red Brick Church in the Valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.